SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get ready for the best hour of your grid day.
You heard it here first. The best hour of your day on Sports Grid starts now with your host, Kevin Walsh.
One of the easy ones, Donnie, where you look at it and the complaint starts to be, how about not that for more? You know what I mean? Like,
and Donnie Wrightside.
And I would like to see all the weight and anger and might of the NCAA / Big Ten smash that program into smithereens for the next 3 years.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Monday, fun day. What an exciting weekend it was. And I guess you can call this the holiday week as we get ready for Merry Christmas weekend, followed by Happy New Year weekend. It's best hour of your day right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Moneyline, it's Donnie Wrightside, and it's Kevin Walsh. And Monday Night Football, it's a big deal tonight.
Does it feel like one to you? I don't know what it is.
Does.
It does.
Not because the Eagles are playing in this game, and I want to see how they do. I need to see how the drama plays out the rest of the day. We don't even know what quarterback's going to start on either football team. I feel like I'm just going to go to DeAndre Swift because everybody is, and then go, well, why is he only 59 and a half rushing yards tonight? Which leads me to my next thing. Is this the Kenneth Gainwell game, Kevin? Is this the Kenneth Gainwell? I feel like I could tell Joe Lisi, Kenneth Gainwell, and we're alting him all the way up tonight. I just feel that way.
He might be like on Charbonnet, though. Could it be Jackson Smith and Jigba, Goddard? Like, you know, he'll have to zag when it's a time to zig. I just don't know what it is. Yesterday was a fun day of football, as always. But
yes,
man, this game doesn't feel like the Eagles are. And I'm speaking strictly as an Eagle fan, right? Yes. I know you're talking about batting wise. As an Eagle fan, like, if they lost tonight, obviously, there's always a level of frustration. But I wouldn't be like, oh, come on, what are we doing? Like, I still don't think they're in a favorable schedule spot here in Seattle.
No, they're in a bad spot. Now, again, me being an Eagles fan as well, I remember when they played Kansas City and we worked that Monday Night Football game. I drove home and had to turn the radio off because I think I would have drove off the road 4 or 5 times just like, and the ball's in the air. Like, where is it? Where's the ball? You know what I mean? Because it was such a big game at that time. When I did the numbers today and did all of my research and I found out that basically whether the Eagles lose tonight, not that big of a deal because they still hold the tiebreakers over the Lions and or the Dallas Cowboys if they all have the same record, which means the Eagles have to beat Tommy Cutlets twice. Shouldn't be that bad. It's hard. And Arizona at home one time, and they'll be the number 2 seed. Because I sort of resigned the fact where you're watching for the 49ers right now and saying to yourself, look, I know the Ravens are a good football team. I would be shocked if the Ravens went to San Francisco on Monday Night Football and beat them. So that's what I'm saying to myself. And also, the Rams, who are a pretty good team, still have the 49ers. But I just feel like the Niners are playing so well right now, it doesn't matter. And I just feel like the Eagles are resigned to that number 2 seed. And that's why tonight it's like, oh, man, the Eagles. But we got to win tonight. And I go, no, they don't have to win tonight. So on to next week.
Yeah, that, again, to your point, right? Like, of course, it would be great to be the one seed. I think that would be very important upon a potential rematch against the San Francisco 49ers. But
yes,
the division is over, you know? And, you know, people go, famous last words. There was a part of me that wanted the Eagles to lose this game, Dallas to win yesterday, and then go and bet the Eagles again to win the division. Like, I'll give you, I know where I'm jumping ahead, Donnie. Mm-hmm. I like Miami next week against Dallas. I'm jumping ahead, but like that, like the Cowboys to me answered every single question in that game against Buffalo. Everything that I thought, I feel like we saw it right then and there.
And also, you saw this too, because it wasn't like I came on the air yesterday or all week long. It was like, hey, man, Buffalo's going to beat the brakes off of the Cowboys. But all week long, every show, it's like, hey, you know, I think Buffalo's going to win this football game. That didn't come to a surprise to me. What did come to a surprise is how they got beaten down. Like, again, I do the box, you know, the box score before the game. Yeah. Hey, what if I told you Josh Allen's going to throw for under 100 yards? Like, oh, my God, Dallas going to win the Super Bowl. That means they annihilated Buffalo and embarrassed them. Exact opposite, because James Cook has now shown up as a real. And by the way, he looks every bit fast, every bit quick, every bit side to side. I'm telling you right now, team's going to be a problem heading forward.
Come on now. I mean, the Latimer stuff. Honestly.
Oh, you like that stuff.
Come on.
I mean, this guy's, it's the 50-50 split with the 49ers. It's like, Mason and CMC, 50-50 the whole way. And we're like, you're always like, what's the deal out here? Yeah, oh, by the way, the Buffalo Bills like, hey, man, we're struggling running back. We're not going to make a deal, but how about Leonard Fournette? And it's like, oh, my God, what are we doing?
It's like they had this guy the whole time. I just, I don't know, you see stuff like that, and it's like.
You do.
We don't complain for no reason. It is because these things are clear as day. But teams love complicating it for no I don't get it. I don't get it at all. But man, Buffalo hung it on that team.
They did beat them up. And for the people that don't understand like the interworkings of like the NFL scheduling process, the Cowboys were parked in Dallas for roughly a month, smashing football teams on Thanksgiving, which you know me. I've said it for 20 years talking about the Thursday night football game. One of the biggest deficits you can have for a team is being on the road Thursday. Dallas got that. Then they got Seattle at home, which they were already home from the week before. Mm-hmm. So, done. It's only Thursday to Thursday. I get it, but they didn't have to travel anywhere. Smoke Seattle. The Eagles come to town with their tongue dragging on the floor, exhausted, and at a deficit of a four-day work advantage for the Cowboys, who smoked them. Dallas goes on the road, where they struggle, in a little bit of elements, against a team with equal rest. Absolutely Hulk smashed in that game.
Dominated. Absolutely dominated, as you said. And again, you're right. I'm not going to act like I thought Buffalo was going to win by a billion.
Yeah.
No, there was parts of me that, because I told you this, I've been telling you this now, Donnie, right? The Dallas defense is fraudulent. They know how to turn people over. It is their only pathway to success. Again, the Eagles should refund all the DeAndre Swift money that I lost the other week, okay? That's the truth of that. That offense can hit a high ceiling, no doubt. And they had a really bad game. Their offense is obviously much better than what they showed. But that offense is also a lot more comfortable at home. We know that. And again, they're going to be the fifth seed. And I'll tell you, and I'll add another thing. You know, if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hold on and win the NFC South, Dallas is, of course, going to still be favored in that game. But the difference between Tampa, New Orleans, and Atlanta is Tampa plays outdoors. And that helps. It does. You put Dak in that nice dome against the Falcons, that final score is 41-17, Dallas. You know, things are not breaking the Cowboys' way.
No, they're not. Because, and again, as we said, it's like, hey, Dallas can do this. Let's also at the end of the season where Dallas is in their gauntlet, beat the Eagles, then got smoked. And he goes, well, where are we going next? Well, the Dolphins really need a win, and it's on the road. And looks like they rested Tyreek just to get his ass ready for the Dallas Cowboys, which we'll see how that turns out. And then correct me if I'm wrong. Detroit loves to play in domes, and that game's going to be played in a dome against Detroit, who threw five touchdown passes over the weekend here and absolutely decimated the Broncos, but also the Broncos. Three straight road games. Boy, it catches up to you here. I'm looking forward to the final 3 weeks of the season because a lot's up for grabs, except maybe who's going to win the NFC and who's going to win the MVP. Brock Purdy, four tutties, but the best player on that football team is Christian McCaffrey. If you don't watch football, Purdy is a very good quarterback. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about the elite specimens in the NFL that make your offense go, just keep throwing tall sweeps out there to my boy Christian McCaffrey and see how you end up. Probably with a Super Bowl victory. And by the way, shout out Kyle Shanahan. My man's leg was falling off back there. And he's like, brother, it's important I get you over 100 yards plus and a couple touchdowns. Get back out there to my own detriment. We'll be back to talk about it. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back out of here on a Monday edition of Moneyline Sports Grid Network Series XM Channel 159. Hot topics we're going to hit in this hour. Of course, we're going to hit that Monday Night Football game. Take a look at some props here. Where the NFC and AFC stand at this point here. Also, DeMonte Casey thrown out of the league in 2023 for his hit against a defenseless wide receiver. And I like to preface this by saying, your boy, if you go at right side VP search and targeting, I am the biggest proponent of targeting in the history of football. I can't stand it. It's never called correctly. Guys getting hit in the leg or getting thrown out for targeting calls. But you can't understand or underestimate what a I was a wide receiver and laying out and catching shots to the head. And I preface this by saying I played football in the 90s. That's all I did was take shots to the head, going over the middle as if it was no big deal. It's legislated out of football. And the minute that play happened on Saturday night, Kevin, I said to myself, and I tweeted it, and I retweeted today, that hit should have been thrown out of football. And I was actually quite honestly pleasantly surprised today when John Runyan in the NFL basically threw him out of football.
I mean, yeah, he's obviously suspended for the rest of the year. It was an ugly play, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I think, I'm not defending it, I think it stands out today more in today's game, you know? In today's game, you don't even see... They're still dangerous plays, right? And they're flagged.
Yes.
Those plays you don't even really see come across your TV more than once or twice a year. So, yeah, they took action. Hopefully Pittman's okay. But, man, you know, the Indianapolis Colts.
They won despite that, too.
I think you made this point the other day. I don't even know if we were on or off air, but Indianapolis, you know, could be down Pittman, right?
Yes.
We don't know if Jonathan Taylor's coming back. Zach Moss banged up.
Yep.
You know, they're going to Atlanta. I know we think the Falcons are terrible, but you know how the NFL works. That's not a runover spot for the Indianapolis Colts.
No. You lose your top wideout and top running back here and say, hey, no big deal. And by the way, they lost them in a game that was tooth and nail the entire way where they were down 13 points and still won it. Tremendous job there. Those two, D'Amico Ryans and Shane Steichen, tremendous stuff. Let's get to the phone lines here. Have some fun. 844-843-6879. Andrew in Virginia calling in on a Monday right here on the grid. What's up, Andrew?
What's up, Donnie? What's up, Kevin?
Donnie,
we know you've taken some shots to the head. You bet Tony Pollard and Breece Hall props all the time, so we understand.
Yes. It's been a while. By the way, since I took Breece Hall. Have you noticed I don't bet him anymore? So there you go. I'm learning.
Have you noticed that Pollard can't score, too, since you let go ahead?
Since I haven't bet him. Yeah, it's true.
You're killing me.
As far as the Eagles go tonight, I expect maybe their best effort of the season in this game, prime time Monday night. They didn't fire Sean Desai, but they flipped him, right, to a different position as a coach, I guess, on defense. So you have Matt Patricia now. I just expect them to be locked in tonight. They really, I mean, you said it's not that big a deal if they lose the game, or maybe Kevin said that, but I think it is a big deal. I think they have to show up and win on Monday Night Football tonight. I really believe it. And as far as the Jacksonville Jaguars go, I wanted to bring that up. I have a 43-1 ticket on them in a parlay. Ooh. They're my final leg to win the Super Bowl. Are they a dead team? I mean, I could cash it out and get my money back right now. I'm a little concerned about the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, Kev, by the way, on that Jacksonville Jaguars stance here, you know what the tough part about it is? They're in the lull right now. Do you know what I mean? So it's easy for me to say they really do look like a dead team now. But I got to say, Kevin, they do look like a dead team right now.
They're also potentially in more trouble than we would have thought because Trevor is in the concussion protocol.
Yes. Big game this week, too.
Absolutely. Their most difficult game.
Man, yes.
You've talked about this is something that's really stuck with me, Don, with the Houston Texans. The timing at which they've played teams has been consistently awful, right? Now, they were able to get a nice break this past Sunday against the Titans. Absolutely. But for the Jaguars, you look at that final schedule being Tennessee and Carolina and Tampa. If you're going to be without Trevor, you're like, all right, please just let it not be the Tampa week. It's the Tampa week. It's on the road. That line's down to 1. The Texans are, have you seen, like, the line's out for next week. The Texans are the biggest favorite of the bunch at -2.5.
Yes.
It is.
It's wild.
Very short lines. The Texans are the only home team. But if Jacksonville does lose another game, let's say they lose this weekend, you know, the Colts and the Texans control their own destiny. And they play week 18. I mean, it is a really remarkable spot now, the way Jacksonville looked like they were going to be able to run and hide.
It is. It's a interesting division, to say the least, which looks like it was going to be close. Then it looked like it was wrapped up. Now it's back to being close. And you play a Sunday night football game and put your, you know, quarterback in the concussion protocol post game. What is that? In today's day and age, that's like 95% he will not be playing this weekend because of what we've seen over the past year and a half with guys that get a concussion and if they play the following week. Now, we know how the NFL works, and GM's jobs are on the line. You know, players' jobs are on the line. Coaches' jobs are on the line. Hey, Trevor, how are you feeling there, brother? Feeling good today? Okay, good. Let's get you worked out. Coach, that's right. You said you feel real good. Let's get you out on that field, see what you can do. And certainly a quarterback, leader of the team, you tell him how do you feel, even if he can't even tell what day it is. Coach, I'm good to go. I'll get back in there. And sometimes in the NFL, they go, my man.
But here, Tony, so this is the thing that's starting to drive me a little nuts with Buffalo. This is how crazy this AFC conversation is. Buffalo has lost the tiebreaker to Jacksonville. If the Jags drop off of the, you know, division, right, and they end up as a wild card team, that's a loss for Buffalo because they lost that head-to-head. But are you a believer the Bills are going to win out?
Right now, I would lean towards the yes, because
at Chargers,
yes,
home versus
that's an
Patriots,
easy one. That's an easy one.
And then it's at Miami to close.
Yes, I do, because I was been saying for weeks ahead of this, I thought they had to go 1-1, and the reason I thought they had to go 1-1 to make the playoffs, Kevin, because what? I thought they would run the table after those two games, which they just won. So I got to stick with it and say yes.
Let's put it in a better perspective. You absolutely believe, Donnie, that Buffalo will beat the Chargers and New England, right?
Yes, I do. Correct.
That'll put them at 10-6.
Yes.
Miami's next two games are home against Dallas and at Baltimore.
Yes.
You would expect them to lose
1-1.
One of those games.
1-1.
The division will be decided then in week 17 if that happens. Because Buffalo...
No matter who they beat?
No matter what. Because Buffalo, Buffalo would have won, would have the same record as Miami, and have swept Miami.
Well, they're running the table then.
Oh my gosh.
So the Dolphins basically is what we're saying is they win one of the next two games that they clinch the AFC East, right?
No. They have to basically win both.
Looking at the records wrong? Hold on, let me just bring up the standings and take a look at it. So one is 8-6 and one is 10-4.
Correct.
So if the Buffalo Bills win next week, which is, again, let's just say, the Dolphins game is what week? The final
the
week?
Last week of the season.
The last week of the season. So let's go. Buffalo gets two wins to go to 10. Well, no,
Miami,
what do you mean?
Miami gets
going to be decided on that day, right?
Like
week 18.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was week 17.
Gotcha.
That's what threw me off. That's why I was like, hold on now. They can clinch it before that game even plays yet. Good.
No,
I hear what you're saying there. Yes. That is what is going to happen. Yes, fantastic.
Oh, my God. You know, if Buffalo's down to 2-1 to win that division,
They'll be
favorites in Miami.
I told the 2 3-1 bets I loved last week, Buffalo to win the AFC East and Kansas City to get the number one seed. Both of those are down significantly now.
This Buffalo team might win this division.
Yes, and have the moniker, Kevin, of going into the playoffs, the hottest team in football, which is great because on the FanDuel Sportsbook, because I did this with a couple teams. I lost probably about $100 on the Chargers to win the Super Bowl, and these weren't even preseason picks. This was like crazy numbers, like week 11 of the season, right? Like, let me just, I don't want to bet $50 to win $85 because I took the 49ers. I said, give me a chance where a team can catch like on fire, and one of those teams I did it with was the Buffalo Bills. So I got $100 on some crazy props on the Bills to win it, which looked dead in the water 2 weeks ago. So I've been cheering them on almost as like my, along with, because I have a couple Philadelphia Eagles props. The biggest bet I have, the $100 single one, is on the Baltimore Ravens. But I'm Buffaloed up, man. You want to make Buffalo in the AFC final with Baltimore? I'm in, baby. That means we're going to have some fun and cash coming along. We got a long way to go here. Don't go anywhere. Keep it right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And now, back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Right back out of here on a Monday afternoon. Sports Grid Network. The boys will be in studio tonight for Pro Football Today. Eagles and the Seahawks tonight. So why don't we start there in that football game and what it means. If you're looking at the overall standings in the NFC, it's a big deal here. The Philadelphia Eagles, even though when you look and say, hey, you know what? They win tonight. They're tied with the Niners. Well, the Niners have the tiebreaker. You got to pass them. I don't know if that's going to be the case. The Detroit Lions, good football team, picked up their 10th win. They got some tough games left on their schedule, which include include the Dallas Cowboys. But if we're looking from a Seattle Seahawks perspective, they're 6-7. Season ends today, they're out of it. But again, if they win tonight, they'll be thrown into that mix of 7-7 teams, which would be the Vikings, Rams, Saints, and obviously the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks should be in the playoffs. Like, they're more talented than a lot of those teams that they're playing against. But we just haven't gotten that competent quarterback play. Do you know what was good last year? He hasn't been good this year. And that's really, you know, one of the issues with, hey, I got three wide receivers and two good running backs. Can I just get a quarterback that moves the chains? We'll really be able to roll. They had it going, but sort of on the bottom falling out for the Seahawks. We don't even know if it's going to be Drew Lock or even, you know, the starting quarterback, whoever it's going to be, let's just say.
Yeah.
But if I'm looking like with Geno tonight, a quarterback, and they go, oh, he's not going to go. Like, I don't even look at the Seahawks any different. Do you know what I mean? Like, hey, Geno's going. Oh, okay. Drew Lock's going. Like, I don't have a difference of opinion on that line, whoever's playing tonight.
I get what you're saying. I think it actually makes a lot of, where we've talked about, would you rather, if you're a Seahawk backer, Seahawks plus +3 with Geno or plus +4.5 with Drew Lock? You can take
plus
+4.5. Absolutely. So I don't disagree in that way. You look at last week for Drew Lock, Donnie, 31 pass attempts, very evenly spread. 7 targets for Smith and Jigba was the leader, 6 to Lockett, 5 to Metcalf, 5 dump-offs to Walker, right? So a very even workload there. You talk about the running back room tonight. I know you mentioned Swift. On the other side of the field, 8 carries Ken Walker, 9 carries Zach Charbonnet. That's interesting.
Yeah,
because Ken Walker was their guy. I don't know if that's, hey, look, he's not fully healthy, he can't handle the full workload, or no, we love what we've seen from Zach Charbonnet, and he's going to command a lot more of this pie.
Yeah, I think it's more of that. I think, you know, you take a look at your head coach, Pete Carroll, and say, hey, man, this kid's running good. I don't care what I just had before. I got something good right now. Let me use them. And that's the way it's probably going to lean out. Because, again, 2 capable running backs, 3 legitimate wide receivers. You just need a quarterback to throw against a defensive secondary that has gotten beaten like a pinata over the past couple weeks from a starting wide receiver. You get a quality starting wide receiver on the Eagles, here's what you do if you're an offensive coordinator. Blue, 22. Oh, look, the wide receiver's coming in motion. The Eagles go, what? What? Well, nobody's covering that guy. I'm not covering him. You cover him? No, I'm not going to cover that guy. Just let him run wherever he wants to. It'll be interesting to see, too. And also, is there any credence tonight, which I don't mind this move. Here's what you worry about. The Philadelphia Eagles coaching staff as a whole last year, right? It was Shane Steichen on offense. Nobody knew who Shane Steichen basically was before the Eagles had him as offensive coordinator. Granted, obviously he came highly recommended. That's why he was going to be the offensive coordinator on the Eagles, and they trusted him. But you watch Shane Steichen this year with that Colts offense. It's like, I don't care who's my quarterback, running back, or wideout. We look competent every week. Big things can happen at any moment. You move on and you take on Brian Robinson. Not Brian Robinson. It's Brian Robinson? Who's he? Brian, let's go Robinson.
Brian Johnson?
Brian Johnson, I'm sorry. Yeah, Robinson Johnson. So let's just say you remove him from the equation. All right, it's Nick Sirianni's offense. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Gannon had a defense that just about set the all-time NFL record for sacks. But of course, just like in any city, you get lit up once, this guy stinks, what the hell? Hopefully he leaves. Well, another team made him a head coach, which, again, should have your head scratching. I thought we hated this guy. How's he a head coach? Well, apparently he's well-liked around the league. Otherwise, he wouldn't even have been getting interviews. So he leaves. Sean Desai comes over as your defensive coordinator. It's had its ups and downs, but really downs playing good football teams where he just looks like outmatched. And Kevin, sometimes we sit on the couch and we go, I don't understand this. Everybody's wide open on every play. Like, either you're not teaching or your scheme is terrible. Now, Matt Patricia has called hundreds of games as a defensive coordinator. I like the move in that because it's just a change. And I know the guy who's calling plays has been there and done that. And I think it will make a slight difference here. But the Sean Desai defense is like, it has Eagles fans worried about the last 2 weeks. Like, I don't even know if we'll ever compete again because we can't stop anybody.
Yeah, I think the fact that the switch is not, it doesn't feel desperate for me. It feels like they're making a turn to a championship level defensive coordinator, which is what he is. I mean, that's the truth, right? Like, that is a Super Bowl winning defensive
Like, the players, right? The players look at him and say, okay, well, he's got some cachet. He's from the Belichick tree. He's won Super Bowls. He's been in big games. Like, when a call comes in, I'm not saying, like, hey, guys, cover three twist with a spy. What is this guy? We're putting a spy on a quarterback that doesn't run? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know it's not that bad, but you know when the defense isn't working, those play call comes in, and, like, the eyes just start to roll. Like, why are we doing a twisting stunt here? I'm going to go inside, and I know Kyle Shanahan is going to dial something that's going to run right by me as I loop inside.
I hope the defense but bounces back. But let me ask you this, though, because here's what I think the bigger question point for the Eagles is tonight. It's, will they run the football a ton? Because that's apparently now what the fan base wants. And I feel like Sirianni, to some degree, is like, sure, all right, that's what you want, we'll run it.
Yeah.
But obviously, you now have Hurts coming in at less than 100%. In a weird way, he is physically going to just be tired right away. Where, yes. So running the ball even makes even more sense.
Then why aren't we higher, though? That's what, here's, you see what I mean? 59.5, now up to 60.5 at FanDuel. But my initial thought process for this game was, oh, yeah, they're going to run the hell out of the football in this game.
Yeah.
I go, what are we looking at? 68, 69.5 for Swift? It's like, you know what? Sounds about right. I don't know if I want to go over it. Like, I saw in the 50s, I'm like, oh, hold on. Everybody's betting this game who's just going to take an over somewhere. It's like, all right, who do we go to? Well, Jalen's sick. Swift, 60. Yeah, let's go. Like, I feel like it's going to be loaded up on that spot. Well,
Donnie, this is a Seattle team that has been absolutely.
Look at the last three games.
Abused,
yeah.
At the running back position.
Crushed.
Abused. Mm-hmm. Right? Total yardage, all of it, it has been major. You know, and you could say, oh, come on, that's CMC. No, if you guys were with us on Thanksgiving Pro Football Today, I was betting big CMC numbers because they allowed the Commanders backfield for 200-plus total yards. The Ravens ran it for 200 on them. The Browns backfield had over 170 total yards on that team. So I almost want to play, Donnie, a little R&R here, a little rush plus receiving, because that is, it's been total yardage, maybe a couple of extra checkdowns on Swift, but he could very well run for 100 tonight here, and I don't think it would really surprise, would it?
Kenneth Gainwell, alt receiving yards 25 or more, 4-1. Like, I'm just going over the numbers for Gainwell. He doesn't get a lot of run, but it feels like if the Eagles are going to run and your quarterback is a little bit under the weather, and even if it's Marcus Mariota, that means more running backs in the equation. So if I tell you right now Gainwell gets 4 touches tonight, he's probably going over that alt receiving number and also his rushing prop, which means 1 carry for 11 yards on that 3rd and 8 that surprises everybody, and a couple swing passes on 3rd down. Let's get to the phone lines here, because we got a guy waiting that needs to get on the line, and that's Moose. He's ready to go. It's a Monday. Oh, it's X-Man. Whoa! X-Man, get in here. Drop some presents off for us.
Shout out to Moose.
Yeah,
shout
see
out
that?
To West Virginia, Ohio, the whole Midwest.
Hey, man. What do we got today?
We got the Philadelphia Eagles to cover the spread. Mm-hmm. Come on, man.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
LA Clippers on the money line. Dallas Stars in regulation. And my pick of the day, UCLA women. They number 2 on the road at Ohio State.
Buckeye Nation.
10-1.
10-1, right on there.
UCLA women. Basketball game. Moneyball.
He's all over it. By the way, K-Dub, like X-Man, I mean, every single sport he covers out here, there's nothing he can't do.
No, he's a full oddsman. He knows what he's doing. It's major respect.
We ready for the holidays over there, X-Man? I mean, you got the list laid out here, checking it twice. What are you doing over there?
I'm trying to come up with the perfect parlay.
Oh, no.
So I can catch him big on bowl games. I need plus money on bowl games.
Yeah, we do. And by the way, we do have a game right now, Western Kentucky and ODU, in the famous Toastery Bowl?
Yep.
Good Lord. How much they pay for that, Kevin? $800, $900?
You know, it doesn't feel... Is it really that expensive to host a bowl?
It can't be. No, it can't be. It can't be to throw your name on, because I never heard of... Companies that I never heard of, like, we have the Pop-Tart Bowl coming up soon. Like, what is Pop-Tarts even like? Yeah, you know, we've been around 100 years. Like, we're going to get a bowl game? Like, just, hey, we got extra money? How much we need? I can stroke a check for $1,000. Good. Pop-Tart Bowl, it's yours. Sports Grid should have a bowl. Why don't we have a bowl?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, but now what happens when we get a bowl and then Houston?
Yeah, I'll rip it off. Yeah, I will too. I'll be like, John, we need you guys live. And I'm like, I can't do this, guys. This is just horrendous stuff. Like, our network's stooping to such a low, we have to get a bowl game that means nothing out here in these streets. Yeah, I would rip it too.
I'll admit this. I bet every bowl game on Saturday. We did the show, right? Yep. I was like, all right, well, if I've now started by betting every bowl game, I'll just bet it. I'll bet every bowl game this year. I totally forgot the 231. I totally forgot. I have no action on this game today. What do you want me to do? And nobody even knows.
By the way, I saw this. I see people tweeting out there too, like about this game. Like, oh, there's a ton of like trans. I mean, what are we doing here? Like, Western Kentucky and ODU don't care about a bowl game where everybody's just out. And I even saw like this is how you know bowl games don't mean anything anymore. Like a true freshman is getting his first career start in a bowl game, which used to be like the culmination of your season. And nobody cares, man. Not even like quarterbacks are leaving small colleges. Like it's a waste of time to play in this bowl game. Let me just move on with my career or just, you know, let me get my insurance salesman career underway. Forget about this bowl game. I don't need it anymore. Even the words come out, I think Minnesota, there was a rumor that they had to pay a quarterback $30,000 just to stay and play in the bowl game. Tremendous bowl games doing its damage out here, which I love. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Monday. Is it a Kenneth Gainwell Monday? Or is it a Kenneth Walker III Monday? Is A.J. Brown going to share? Here's the problem. I mean, if Jalen doesn't play tonight, and you find a little groove here with Marcus Mariota and Devonta Smith, it might be, even though the Eagles might win the football game doing that, not going to go over well in the locker room with AJ. So just be on the lookout tonight for AJ getting his tonight. He doesn't want to see anybody else working in there with good vibes or Dallas Goedert getting a lot of run out here. It should be a fun game. And by the way, I don't care, as I said multiple times, who starts a quarterback for Seattle.
Yeah.
Why do I feel like I'm in the minority right now with loving this over tonight? Am I wrong? Or does this have the blueprints of an Eagles football game circa October the 3rd, where it's like, you know what? We got 21 at the break. We'll end up with 24, but we'll hold the football for 17 minutes in the third and fourth quarter.
I think it might be, it's almost like, you know how in preseason football, Donnie, it's always, hey, who's playing quarterback? All right, yeah, no, this game's going to go over then. I know who those guys are. It's like, Drew Locke, Jalen's not healthy, under. It just, and kind of ignore all the other pieces of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. But the way the Eagles defense is discussed, you would never be able to suggest that the number should be 45.
Yes, I think it seems low. And also, there is a little bit of rain in the forecast, but temperatures like close to 50 degrees and light wind that's on turf. Mm-hmm. You should be able to get after it. The question is, what are you actually getting out of Jalen Hurts? Because we were getting the updates yesterday on the Pro Football Today set. Like, hey, look, it's questionable. Or no, he's sick. And then the downgrade to questionable, which I was listening to like local radio today. Some of them seem to think like that has to happen with the NFL. Like if you're not traveling with the team, it can't just be like, oh, everything is fine. So he has to be downgraded to some level there. But everybody, including myself, probably the same thought process. Jalen Hurts isn't getting on a plane to fly 5-6 hours to go to Seattle dead sick and just make him sicker and more tired to fly back home because he didn't play. And also, ask a football player when his team knows they need him and he has to be right and be there. Hey, can you give it a go? I just don't feel that good. I'm not going to at least try it out. I would be absolutely shocked if Jalen Hurts does not play tonight for the Eagles. But I don't know if that's a good thing, Kevin. I'm not saying it's not, because at him at his best and Marcus Mariota's best, obviously it's clear Jalen Hurts is the better football player. Yes. But what gives the Eagles a better shot to win tonight? Jalen Hurts throwing two interceptions and not really able to get out of the pocket but gutting it out? Or just a full go Marcus Mariota? It's like, hey, look, I'll just try to not make stupid plays. I'll move the chains and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden, Donnie, the David Carr comments are starting to sound. Like points were being made. Look, I think you always want Jalen out there. Again, I don't know. Maybe I'm fortunate. I just, the Hurts being the level of competitor he is, how sick does he have to be to not go out there and play?
Real sick.
But, like, could the Eagles go out there? I don't want to ever bring up what Mac Jones and the Pats did that time against Buffalo, but what Buffalo did yesterday against Dallas. If that ground game is working, Donnie, 20 carries DeAndre Swift, another 8 for Kenneth Gainwell. I feel like I could see that being the play tonight.
Yes. Yes. And that's why I'm Kenneth Gainwell'd up at this point.
But no Swift.
Sometimes you don't. Yeah, you don't. I don't want to. Because here's the problem, which is I don't want to outsmart myself. Mm-hmm. When you get the first inclination this morning, like, okay, Eagles, Seahawks, quarterback a little bit under the weather, clamoring to run the football. You got blown out in back-to-back weeks. You want to establish the line of scrimmage. Like, we know what that means. We know that's like, hey, you know what? I'm not saying I'm giving my running back 28 carries, but at the half, I'm not going to be surprised when it has 11 carries for 46 yards. That's not going to surprise me one bit, because that's what you're supposed to do. So then I look at the number and say, like, well, everybody's going to be on that. And I don't really technically care who everybody is on it. It just feels like it's a little bit low of a number. So then I start to say, okay, if I actually think there's going to be running tonight, I just need a few carries out of a guy. And Kenneth Gainwell is that guy that can give you a few of those carries. Against Dallas, 4 for 28, right? The previous games before that, 2 carries, 2 carries, 1 carry, 3 yards. But listen to this, though. 3 for 22, 1 for 1, 2 for 26, 2 for 5, and then 4 for 28. So that's when I start to look at myself and say, all right, if we're running the football 28 times tonight, Swift might get 22 of those. You know who's getting 5 out of the next 6? It's going to be Gainwell. And I'm pretty sure his number, because I don't think he's his rushing number here at FanDuel, but across the board, it looks like Bet365, 14.5 rushing yards tonight for Kenneth Gainwell. Looks like that's the best of it, and it is.
I'm going to play, because I think you're on the right track. I mean, I think these can both win. I'm going to add his receiving, Donnie, and play the rushing plus receiving.
Yeah.
Because he was involved with catch work against San Fran.
He got none against Dallas, but he had 6 targets against San Francisco.
Exactly. Right. So I'm gonna play the double shot here. But I think I'm gonna also place Swift at 76.5 rushing plus receiving. I think I can get both tonight. I really do. I think the trickier thing is figuring out how do you want to bet on Seattle tonight here. Because also we just don't know who the quarterback is going to be for so long.
Correct. Like Swift, no catches or targets against Dallas. Mm-hmm. 2 receptions, 7 yards game before. So it's been, they used him a lot more like in the beginning of the season. Remember the 175 and the 130? And then he had a couple weeks, like 23 yards catching, 38, 40, 13, 7, and then back-to-back 31s with Dallas and Kansas City. Then he's disappeared, though. 4 yards, 7 yards, and 0 yards. But I do think some different things are in order for that offense. But you're right. Seattle is tough to gauge tonight because you should just be under the guise of, well, hold on. Defensive secondary is really struggling. But again, struggling against Dak Prescott on fire at home and Brock Purdy. I mean, come on. Like, 2 of the quarterbacks that had it going and really going at those times. If you're getting Drew Lock here, does that mean it's like, okay, well, still big arm and I take DK Metcalf? Because you should be able to pick any one of those wideouts and really come up with a good play. But I'm struggling to find myself until I see, like, who the starter is. And then, you know, again, even if you get it, hey, it's Geno out there. Well, he can't move. So is the ball coming out too quick, or he's worried about getting sacked, or he usually steps out of the pocket to the left and launches deep. Now he can't move. That's what I'm worried about tonight.
Yeah, I think I'd rather Drew Lock play in this game and just keep it simple, right? Kind of to your point there. I'm looking at Noah Fant. Eagles been it's weird, though, but because the Eagles have been struggling against tight ends, but look who they've been playing. Ferguson, Kittle, Kelsey, Kincaid. It's been the best. That's who they've been playing. But the sample size is what it is. The tight end position has been having a nice run at this team. Absolutely so.
Yeah, it's another way to look at it there. But I think I don't know if I'm on quarterbacks tonight. Because usually, like, hey, this guy overthrew over 300 yards. But again, we don't have any props up here, I don't think. Let me just check the other books here. Let's go to, let's say, passing yards. Geno, 243. He's around 243 to 245. In this game, which I'll be interested to see. And again, it's that whole notion of, well, if Geno's not in and they drop Drew Lock at 217.5, It's like, okay, I'm ready to go. Or they like, hey, look, we're stuck. Remember Nick Mullins, like 250? Like 250, man, that seems high. Yeah, you got throws for three bills. Like backups are just stepping in here like it's no big deal, which I actually like to see. It makes more fun for these games. But I don't have a feel for these. The one thing I do know is I'm not taking Jalen Hurts' passing numbers to the over. Touchdown passes for two, I could see that. But I just don't feel like a 245, let's just say, is in the cards tonight. And I would be upset with myself. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing worse than being a gambler going like, I just took a guy who had the flu. Like, what did I want out of this game? You know what I mean?
That is the issue.
Even though he doesn't like, have the flu, which is why.
Are they going to still do the tush push? Or is it like, can you bet DeAndre Swift to score Donnie with a little more confidence that maybe on the 2-yard line they'll let him carry the rock instead of barreling Hurts into the end zone?
Yeah. I think every, like, you get a slight downgrade, obviously, in the passing game. But in the running game, all bets are off for whoever gets the ball because that's supposed to be the way it is. And you'll know right away. But I should say that, but Jalen Hurts looks the same whether he's, like, got a broken leg, non-broken leg, excited or happy. I watched, by the way, a TikTok or a YouTube short of the field goal that Jake Elliott made against the Buffalo Bills. 59-yarder to push that into overtime. They had two angles of it. One was Jason Kelce, which he was flipping out, loving it. Unbelievable. And Jalen Hurts was on the bench sitting down, like watching the Jumbotron, and the crowd is going wild. You wouldn't know if that was a fist fight in the stands, a defensive interception, the Eagles just won the Super Bowl, or the Eagles lost in the playoffs. His expression was looking up, going, and not even like moving his head, like, oh, well, all right, field goal. It was unbelievable. So I don't know like if you can gauge, like, oh, man, he's laboring out there. Do you know what I mean?
I get what you're saying. He this has been, though, I mean, he is a guy you just trust when it comes to stuff like this, to your point, right? Like, he's a warrior. He's every cliche narrative in the book, but in a nice way, right? Mm-hmm. This is where you get worried, though, because now all of a sudden you're getting discounts out here. Like, you're getting numbers that you never usually would get. Not really 240.
It doesn't really see it. No,
yards.
No, exactly. Rushing
AJ's up in the 80s.
Yeah.
No, it's, but is that like, is his rushing number? But I just can't bet like this. I'm not going to take his rushing under because it should go under, even though it makes sense. Even though it really does make a lot of sense. It really does.
Yeah, so 59.5 for Swift, and again, Kenneth Gainwell, 14.5. Jalen Hurts, 32.5 in that range. Kenneth Walker, 47.5, and Zach Charbonnet at 31.5. I'm going to say, here's the guy that I'm probably going to be betting the most tonight as a wide receiver. I think it's Tyler Lockett for me.
Yeah.
Because what I watch Eagles football, all I keep seeing is the guy that gets into the slot wrecks the Eagles defense because all he does is take three steps, make a move into the middle of the field, and the Eagles have no idea what that's supposed to mean.
Mm-hmm.
So those crossing routes for Lockett, I should be key. And also coming into this game, targets in the last, let's just go back to five-game swing, 10, 7, 5, 8, and 6. Yardage, 89, 47, 30, 51, and 92. And his number tonight, let me just look across the board to see what we have receiving yards here for Tyler Lockett. 49.5, so roughly 50 yards. That's going to be one of the guys. And I hope it's not like, hey, DK Metcalf, 3-for-121 right off the bat. I'm like, come on, man. You know? Like, right away, like, stop the madness. Like, that's like when you see the pick six from the Niners yesterday. You sort of knew where that might end up. I was like, stop it, man. But the Arizona kept scoring and scoring. I still can't believe I lost that. But if you're going to lose, that's the way to do it. Because I actually didn't want that. Remember Brock Purdy went down? I'm like, oh, no. He's got a concussion or he hurt his shoulder. I'm like, I'm not even going to get to enjoy these bets, even if they won or lost. And, again, I lost them both in heartbreaking fashion because I just needed a swing pass to go my direction. But that's the way you'll lose sometimes. How about Smith and Jigba, 39.5? You got some lofty numbers for three wide receivers here. 49, 39, and DK is... Actually, DK is only 59.
But stuff like this, right, Donnie? So last week, as I said, 7 for JSN, 6 for Lockett, 5 for Metcalf, regards to targets.
Mm-hmm.
Do you care about that if it's Drew Lock? Because it's a one-week sample size.
Yeah, that's
right?
What I mean. It's a one-week sample size, which I don't mind, though. Like, I lost a prop yesterday. Again, I lost a couple close props yesterday. The Algier one might have been my best one of the season, though. Get 30 yards. I was in the car 15 minutes. He already had 30 yards there. And the fact that Bijan only had, it was one of those where it's like, ooh, did you just take Bijan because you know he's going to get carried?
I benched him.
Man, I know. It was, if there was a perfect game for Tyson Algier or Tyler Algier, it was yesterday, though. He's just a big bruising back in the rain, run forward, fall for 4 yards, and he did it. But yes, and it's hard because I like, it's going to bring up like Wandale Robinson. I didn't get 30 yards, 31 yards. He got 25. And I watched that final drive with Tommy Cutlets, crossing route after crossing route, where he's right there in his face, but coming to, hey man, we're down 3 touchdowns. I can't throw an 8 yard pass. Losing my mind. I end up losing that. But the reason I bet Wandale is because he started to build that rapport. Like, rapport is a big thing. Like, hey, I'm comfortable with this guy throwing passes here. So see if it turns out. Well, tonight, a couple hours away, we'll get those final reports here. The boys will be in studio, but we have one more segment to go right here on Moneyline Monday afternoon, Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
By the way, we spend a lot of time here talking about the NFL today, and rightfully so. It's a team in the NBA that's trying to do damage here, which includes, I believe, what, 23 or 24 in a row L's? The Detroit Pistons tonight?
Yeah.
Down or double digits? Let me ask you this, because you're never going to back out of a contract in the NBA that you owe a coach like an extra $70 million if you cut him loose in the first 25 games of his contract. But if I am in ownership, which again, they fire coaches all the time, it seems like you were like, you know what? We think we got the best coach in the NBA. We're going to pay him accordingly. We expect big things. And the reason is we have a young core. We want to make a run to the playoffs, and this is the guy to do it with. And it's been flat out embarrassing with no end in sight. Like, I don't even know where the Pistons go from here.
There's nothing they can do. That, like, that's the crazy thing. There is nothing they can do. Monty is there for not just all of this year, all of next year, probably the year after that as well. They gave him a huge deal. And the Pistons being awful is a disappointment to their fan base. But Donnie, their win total was underneath 30. They were supposed to be a bad team. It's that you are not supposed to lose in the NBA 20 games in a row.
Yes.
I mean, any NBA. Why is it a historic lose streak?
Like in 1985, you could sort of make an argument because, like, hey, man, guys play every single night no matter what, so you're going to be playing teams that are better. But in the NBA, 10 times a year, you step into an arena going, like, that's the team they're putting out on the court. Oh, this is an easy one. And they're still getting beat in those games, probably.
But again, like, but what's really odd is while that was happening, the Spurs were on an 18-game losing streak.
Yes.
The Wizards were getting slaughtered by every single team. Mm-hmm. Like, there's like four teams in this league, five teams, and it feels like the Sixers play them all every single night.
Yes, they do. It's great.
They just get smashed.
Yeah, the Philadelphia 76ers are on that Dallas Cowboys plan that they had for like 5 weeks. Like, man, that team's really good. He's like, well, hold on. Why didn't they beat the Clippers? Well, it looks some decent players. Maybe don't hold up as good there. That'll do it for the show here for a Monday. The boys being studio tonight for Pro Football Today. For JP, behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh, thanks for tuning in to Moneyline. We will be back on Tuesday. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.